listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You love to hear the story again and again about these young brothers from the city of wind, like juice and gin in the city we blend amongst the hustle, titties and skin, 50s and rims. Y'all know the spree wells and trucks that's detailed, heartless females that want to ride in them felt. Then the south side venom and raw hides and denim. Pimps' minds collide with them, a system that tries victims.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday.
Yes, it is. It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It means tomorrow's Game of Thrones recap day, everybody's fave. But I have another day here and another guy here that has another fave out. It's my man Kasim Bentley. He has a new album coming out, comedy stand-up album called Lakeview. It's coming out Friday, May 3rd. It's gonna be everywhere that you can get your music, everywhere you get your comedy stand-up. Kasim, what's up, man?
Man, nothing much, you know. I mean, I'm just like struggling like everyone else. We wanted to do this. I should have, this is great. People know I'm a pretty smart guy, but I do dumb things. Like, I took off new media for my album, and I should have taken off today, but I said I can't. It's a new job. I would take off 2 days, this whole sick thing, you know, they're going to catch on. So I said, let me do this between my lunch. No big deal. So my boss comes, a new boss, all just tells me, he's like, he knows my lunch is at 2. But then he's just like, I need to talk to you for a minute. And I was like, not right now. I got to go do something. I got to go. It's like, it's almost like it's life and death. And so people know at the job, some people know I'm a comedian, so I think he's like, doesn't believe, like it's like a hobby thing. You know what I'm saying? So I tell him that I gotta go. Then he knows he's getting in my time. He's like, I'm concerned about you. And when black, I have a black boss. Some black bosses are, I love black people, but black bosses, especially in the nonprofit world, they're not working well with you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because they know the bullshit. See, he's walking by me right now.
Ah!
He's walking by me right now. And he looked up in the sky. He probably thinks I'm on another interview for a white organization.
You trying to escape?
Well, you know, black bosses with black coworkers, I feel like it goes one way or the other way, right? They either real cool.
Right.
Or they just like absolutely are trying to get you up out of the paint, man. You never know which it is.
And he's cool with me. Because I think he was the funny guy at the office.
Ah, trying to take his spot.
Yeah, see, but he was just like, he's just messy. He's an older gay black man. But he's also from the 70s. He peaked in the 70s, 80s. So he talks in that kind of way. You don't know if he's like a player or if he was gay. He's like, yeah, what's going on, man? What's going on? And he's just like, he's like exhaustingly gay. You know what I mean? He's always moving around. I'm fat. I don't move around a lot. He's just there. And he's just like, he can never sit still. He's just crazy. I come in, I'm not funny at the office. I'm not funny. People think, every day people are asking me how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to say. I do the job and I go home. Right. I go on stage and I talk about them.
Yeah, you know what I mean? that's what we do. Like, mm-hmm. When I was working.
Yeah, but Rod, you're successful, Rod. Rod,
now,
Rod, you don't have to report to nobody except your wife. You don't have to do nothing, Rod.
Now,
I watch you. And
now, you know, we've worked hard enough. And we're starting to reap some of the benefits. But nigga, I had a cubicle job from the time I was like 18, 20 to like 37, 30. So I was up in that motherfucker being not funny every day because I was like, I don't want them catching a hint. That I might be
catching a whiff.
That I might have dreams and shit. They might want to come in and crush my dreams during lunch break. I don't know what the fuck people is. They might snitch and be like, "Oh, this motherfucker got a podcast. That's why he ain't had that report on time." So,
cubicle dreams are the worst dreams.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
because it's like, you know, you think about them all day. Because if you had a window, you could look outside. You know what I mean? And just like just kind of get some inspiration. But when you're like at a cubicle, you get stockaded like veal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And only thing window you have is the computer screen.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you're not creative, you know, if you can't write, you can't do something there, you're just sitting there dreaming. And then you know, it's kind of like then you get lunch. Yeah. Then what are you going to do for half an hour now? And the half hour lunch is the worst one because that's not even a real lunch. That's just,
no,
that's
not.
Just a
I
longer
tell
break.
Right.
Right. And they're counting every second. Lord, it's like, oh, I saw that you got back a little late today. It was 31 minutes. You know,
oh,
like,
bro,
what the fuck?
I'm going to that right now. I'm counting down like it's one of those Mission Impossible time bombs.
Come on. Like 24.
And he walked past me. And it's just like, it's just ridiculous. But try, get inspiration. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm talking to my looper.
You know? Don't mess around and get too happy. They'll think something wrong.
It's like the trailer for trailer for the new Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
Gemini Man, where he's trying to kill his younger self. His younger self.
I wish it was the real Will Smith that we all know and think about. You know, and weird kids. Wife who looks like a cat now, you know what I mean? Because there's stuff going on. Oh, come on, Jaden. We don't like talking about plastic surgery with black celebrities.
Right.
And, like, if I told a group of black women after the show that I think, highlight the word think, lowercase, think, that Angela Bassett has had plastic surgery. Mm. My face got hot from the ray beams.
Yeah, Why would you even say that? Like, what is the point of that truth? Like, what is the greater benefit of putting that out in the world? There's no benefit to that.
At all.
You know what it was? It was a black woman who worked in plastic surgery, was just talking spicy, super, like, hot Cheeto spicy to me. And she's like, you know what I think? I think she's having some work done. And I was like, yeah, but she takes care of herself. I know that Angela Bassett has rich people money, so she's just drinking water from the top of the Alps, you know, and like, you know, and like, you know, having minerals from baby Ethiopian kids, you know what I mean? Just there and just shaking it. And she has this lovely husband, which love keeps you young. Yeah, I can, look, Rod, we don't know how old you are. You could be 23, you could be 76. We have no idea. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And your wife, she looks like she just started FAMU. You know what I mean? So it's like, So, I mean, like, y'all are just loving it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I said it, and I got in trouble. And so I said, but then Will Smith, this movie, if Will Smith cannot, he's got two, Ang Lee and, what, Jerry Bruckheimer?
Mm-hmm.
If he can't come back from this,
I don't know what's going to happen. We got this movie, and then he's working on Bad Boys 3, and I feel like
that is not. I saw the stills.
Yeah, it don't.
That
look
should
good.
Premiere on. That should premiere on Redbox.
Yeah, it looks straight to BET, man.
Because you know, it's not just Will. Will keeps himself in shape,
right?
He keeps spraying that fake hair on his head.
Yeah,
he's Gucci. Martin Lawrence.
It's not looking too good.
I would rather have Martin Luther King play this right now. You know what I'm saying? <'Cause they> look... Bad Boys Got a Dream. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't deal with a bloated Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, you know what though? I am optimistic that when we see a trailer, they might just take it to the full comedy route, and maybe it'll just be funny, and they'll be making jokes about him being swole, and it won't be as bad as it looks in them stills. Because them stills, I mean, it looked like your two uncles got together and tried to make a movie.
In the backyard.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, man. What y'all are hurting my memories of what this movie was. Like, the memories of the movie now just like, I never say this, but don't do this movie. And I hope
we all
wrong.
Knew they shouldn't have done it. They're too old, right?
Yeah.
It seems very Netflixy by just the stills I saw. I mean, no, well, let me not say that. I feel that as a fan, that movies seem to be made too quick.
Mm.
And because there's so much, we have so much inside information about movies, we can see like who's directing, what it looks like. This one. And if there's more secrecy about the movie, I would feel more excited.
Yeah, me too. I say this all the time. I've been saying this for years. We know too much, and it's this like nerd culture of being like, we got behind the scenes pictures of the movie set, and it's like nobody wants to see the non-CGI version of like a nigga in a Batman suit,
right?
Like then it just looks weird. Like I want to see the studio's version of that picture where they've done all the work in the background and lighting, and right. there's a reason movies are expensive, because you can't just fucking make a movie with just taking pictures from your iPhone. You need a whole
steel cam.
Well, yeah. I will debate you on that, my brother. Mm-hmm. Because that beautiful movie Tangerine
was the one, and High Flying Bird was also one on iPhone. But peep game though. They didn't just take an iPhone. That's how they be tricking people. Like, that's how stupid the average public person is. They're like, they made it on an iPhone. Nigga, not like your iPhone. They didn't just like walk in there holding the iPhone and film a fucking movie. They got all kinds of fucking rigs and setups and lighting and audio and mics and fucking editing in the studio later and all this post editing. Like, it's a lot of work to make a movie. And I think you're right, because they come out so fast now. Which is like a movie's announced, and 3 months later we're like, oh, it's in the theater. Like, people really don't know how much work it is to make this shit. And yeah, so I'm actually hurt that we keep seeing stuff behind the scenes with Bad Boys 3, because it's just making me be like, this is gonna fucking suck. And it might be the exact same way they filmed the first two. It might literally be the fucking same formula, same director, same talent, same writers, and just as enjoyable. But I've seen 20 fucking behind the scenes like peaks, and all of them make me just go, I'm just disgusted with this shit, man.
right.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about this. I actually, you have an album, man. We listened to it today.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny, man. You do a lot of crowd.
I have not listened to it.
You haven't listened to your own album?
I am that sick in the head.
Wow.
I have not listened. I'm gonna wait till the release party to sit down by myself and listen to it. Well, probably with a tear in my eye. A sugary tear.
A Denzel tear. You know.
Oh, that glory tear? Yes. Oh, shit.
The glory tear. You know, that was funny, Kasim, is I don't listen to our podcast.
I think that makes a high level performance when you don't have to be reviewing. You can just keep in a forward motion with your art.
Yeah.
I guess I'm weird. I do. I listen to the show.
Karen listens to herself. If I'm like on another person's podcast, I don't listen to it. I was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I tell anyone that's listening in there right now that wants to be a true artist, do not look at what they do.
Yeah.
Just don't read reviews. Don't do it. Just don't do anything. Just do.
Yeah.
It's all, and it will all come, the success will come 20 years later, like my career.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, live in the moment, okay?
Live in your Negro moment.
And I'm not one of those people that hates to hear myself either. It's just, I don't find myself interesting because I already know what I think.
You know? Same thing. I don't know what the hell this. If I get any kind of fame from this album, it's all a mistake.
Well, then
all I want to do is do another one and do another one and do some TV. You know, do some spot days. Get it. Hopefully, land a hit podcast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Karen, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I said I guess I'm the only one that is like, for me, whenever I go back and listen, I always catch stuff to make my mind sharper. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I should have said this. Like, I'm like analyzing. I think that's the biggest reason why I go back and listen.
Oh, so you could be like, this joke was here and I missed this joke.
Yeah, to actually get my comedy beats a little bit better. You know, because I'm like I said, I'm not a professional comedian, so for me, it's all.
No, see, I don't know. I debate that too. Right. Because you're not on stage with the horror of sitting in front of these idiots every night and getting paid in ice and drinks. You're a comedian. Right. You're funnier. There's two people who are funny, my girlfriend and like people like you who say, I'm not a comedian.
Right.
Every time you say it, it makes you funny because you don't have to feel like you have to be having this obligation to be, I don't know, have to structure it in your life, in your nightlife, and have to prepare. No, you're funny. It's the creation of jokes and humor makes you, to me, a comedian.
Mm-hmm. And then the way I look at it is not like the reason I don't listen to myself, because it's like if I miss that joke, I miss that joke. I like to listen.
Sure.
I like to listen to other people. who I think are good at it, because then I'm like, oh, look at the skills they have. How mm-hmm. do I add that to my repertoire? Like the ability to like go off the cuff like this, or the ability to take a mental like path down somewhere else, or with the podcast being that it's not like stand up, you know, the ability to like look at a joke and go, I'm gonna go away from that joke and be serious for a second and like elaborate on my thought process. Like those are all kinds of things that I look at. And I'm assuming, Kasim, you watch other stand-ups and other comedy, just not your own.
Yeah, I regretfully watch other people, and I mean that big on the regretfully, because it's like you think you have a great set, and then you'll just watch. Like I will. And my thing is not necessarily what they're saying; it's about how they're composing themselves on stage, especially when it's a special.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You've got 1,200 people, 3,000 people, and you just, you know, that, like, how are you making sure you're transitioning right? You're saying the words correctly? Because people don't know this as specials. They will redo a joke if it didn't hit. Yeah. There's so much fakeness in some of these specials.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, I've been able to open up for TV shows and some comics and for tapings, and it's just like you think it's all this magic, but beyond all that, when it's like when you watch a person on stage and doing that, and they're able to like land the joke right, or if you see a guy doing late night's a whole different beast, because you're supposed to do 7 minutes or less,
mm-hmm.
and then if they start clapping too long, it eats in your time.
Yep.
And then you've got to cut something out. And Jeff Foxworthy, I don't know if any person's ever mentioned Jeff Foxworthy in this Black Ass podcast. You know what I mean? But it's like,
maybe why
he talks about what goes in your head. It goes, you have two teleprompters,
right.
What's coming in, what's going out, and then you get the schism happens when you have to, like, work your way around it.
Mm.
It's and you can't be loose on it. And that's the whole thing why I'm trying to figure out how to do a new TV set, because I like to be a little loose.
Right.
And you get all these rules and all that stuff. But, yeah, like, I watch comedians, you know, are stupid like an idiot.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, I like to watch people too, because, and it is often things that people wouldn't think I'm watching that I am watching. Like, you know, like when people just own their, like, shit, like, when they're able to express themselves in a way where they're not, like, uptight, or they're not stumbling over their words, or, you know, like the audacity of certain types of styles of comedy.
Yeah.
That's the shit that attracts me. It's not always the joke, because, you know, if you watch enough stand up or you listen to enough comedians, whatever, you know where the joke is going, like two lines into the joke. You're like, okay, so then he got to hit this beat. He got to do this. And, you know, every once in a while you get something where you're like, I didn't even see that coming. That was crazy.
Right. It's like Chappelle. Chappelle is a master at deflection. Not deflection, but he builds like this nice wall and camouflage, and he hits you. And you're like, damn, this guy really is a virtuoso.
Yes. Yeah. Like the last joint he did where he's like, I'm getting too good at stand up. And he builds up the first joke, and you're like, that joke's coming back. And when he does it, you're like, and the dismount. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even.
He could have ended it right there.
Yes.
He really, that one was like, in the history of comedy, of televised comedy, it's like if Steph Curry shoots it, turns around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just puts his arms up. You're
yeah.
like, this like, white skin genius, man, look at him.
Yeah, you're like, this is sick. The other thing too, man, your stand up has a lot of like crowd work in it, man.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's crazy, cuz it's like, this is my stand up special. You've been in the game, what, 10 years now?
About 11 and some change.
Okay. And so it threw me off listening, because it's the audacity of it. Like, I think the first thing that happens is you get heckled.
Like, yeah. Like, if I ever see her again, I swear to God, if I'm in an Uber or I'm driving, I'm running her over, because I've took months to prepare. And this woman who's met me at a show before,
mm-hmm.
who we had some sort of connection, she thought, I didn't know who she was.
Right.
I forgot. And she's with this date, and he looks like every evil guy from Die Hard. Just a regular San Francisco interracial gentrified couple. And he looks like a conductor, an evil music conductor. And she just starts the whole thing. And I'm like, we're okay, fine. Because I was so pissed off, because I was supposed to have two nights to record. I knew one show was going to be loose, and then the other was just going to be like stories and older material. And I am known for doing crowd work and stories, but I decided a couple days prior, I was like, you know, I'm just going to have this experience. The jokes are going to hit what they hit. I knew that I was going to have more albums in my career. So I said, this is just me being me. Mm-hmm. And it might not get all the attention because, like, it has to be packaged like, well, this is this joint. This, I was like, nah, right. I'm just going to have Kasim being his most Kasim. And this lady just comes out the gate, and my label manager, he looked at, I could see him peeking out like, hey, just handle it. And I just go for broke, guns blazing, and let's just get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I loved it.
And for the crowd there, that's why I feel like the next thing I need to do is visual. Because I'm a visual guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it was fun. It was a fun set. I hope people like it. If they don't, you know, Kevin Hart's got another special party coming in 3 months. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter.
Well, I did.
You listen to Joe Rogan.
That's the thing. Like, I did like it because it was different. Like,
it was, yes.
It wasn't like you said, it's not even like typical, like, and then I tell this joke, and then mm-hmm. I tell that joke, and then, you know, like, it feels kind of like you just are there, like, in the moment, and mm-hmm. everyone that was in the room yeah. is in the moment with you. And I know you said the next thing you do will probably be visual, and I'm sure it would help out, but I felt like I saw those people without seeing those people, because you're
right. Your description,
yeah, you're describing the people, and then you're like making jokes out of what they look like and mm-hmm. Who they remind you of, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, cool. So this dude looks like a college professor. I got like a little thing in my head.
Picture.
Now I'm like, let's go, you know. And so I thought it was just audacious, man. And then it's also not a very long album. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's ridiculous. People want to go up there and, like, listen to my new album. Take out half your day. Like, I don't got time like that, fam. I work. I have a kid. I have this. I have that. Give me 40 minutes of you, and I might come see you. I might.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of artists are doing this now in music, where the shorter album is the move now, because especially with streaming services
and people don't got all that time,
right? All the competition for ears. So now you almost gotta have something that catches people right away, which I think, like I said, the immediate heckling and, well, fuck it, let's get into it. It's like, boom, all right, we're in. And then, like, the next thing you know, you're like, it's over. Like, oh, that was fast. That was good.
Yes, and you can put it on repeat. And the biggest thing that I like about the shorter albums, you're cutting the fat. Ain't no more double CDs. Yeah. You're going to be like, what is the best? We're not going to have some shit in there that you be like, you're going to, nope, if it ain't the best, it ain't making a cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do like a Nelly Sweat and Suit album, you know what I mean, for people, you know what I mean? I don't want people like, yeah, I like the Suit side, not the Sweat side, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need like a Love Below comedy album experience. Like, I like that life is moving very quickly. Our expectations are being met very quickly. People, I hate to say it, don't have the attention span, and it's not just that, it's just like I work quick, and I like watching people for an hour. That's great. Mm-hmm. But I do notice that, like, for this album, I wanted it to be a short glimpse of who I am. The next album will probably just be like a crowd work album. I definitely want to just have fun one of my recordings. Mm-hmm. I just want to have a lot, and you know, have stories, and like, I mean, that in the next album I would like to do maybe just all stories. And just because my life has been not hell. I mean, it's, listen to this voice. It's not hell. You know, it's like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, but I want people to get to, like, be excited when they're listening to it, because I just can't always get into a, well, this is track 17. This is my joke about McDonald's.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yeah, but I want to know what you're about. That's why I like Little Rel special, because he really gave you his whole city and him. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm from Frisco.
Right.
Nobody has put it down, and I'm not trying to be this dude, like some Little Richard shit, but or like Ariel, not the Little Richard, or just like I'm like the first. Nobody has really put it down for San Francisco in the way I feel like. So I'm from Lakeview. It's like this little neighborhood. No, it's on the outskirts, right before it turns into the peninsula. Mm. And it's like this, it gets noticed, but it's underrated, but it made so many funny people.
Right. And it also feels kind of like on Outkast's first album, Southern Playalistic, how it was so specific to that area of like Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, that it then becomes universal, because you're like, oh yeah, I know something about that, even though I've never been there. It kind of
The Bay Area, the problems, the systemic problems they have in the Bay Area happen all over the country, not the world. So if people listen to my album, they'll know that
my last bit is talking just about like what happens with all the inequalities that happen with youth and like gentrification and, you know, and having this little child really just be kind of like the face of truth. Because 10 years ago, the problem is it's not a kid friendly city. It used to be, but now they're ushering families out. So you have ushering black people out. So that really listening to underlying the message is just like, you know, like caucasity and whiteness is ruining the world, America in the world.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like white men are ruining everything. I mean, so it's like, so it takes a little black kid. Because think about, we're afraid to talk to you because they allow them, they know the truth. You know, so a lot of my bits kind of have a lot of underneath, and I slide the message in.
Right.
But I have a very combustible style, so some people seem to feel like, oh, it just went so quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's a 7-minute story.
Yeah, but it's also, like, still funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, all that shit is happening in the joke and in the point that you're making, and it's like, but at the same time, you know, you're talking about, like, pad thai in a burrito. Like in Charlotte, North Carolina, like that kind of resonates because I know there's so many, like the gentrification is all over the place downtown now.
All types of fusions. You'd be like, how the fuck did them two get together?
And it is like you ride by those places, like I wouldn't mind trying a pad thai burrito, but also like that pad thai burrito place used to be like, you know, it was Price's Chicken Coop.
Like an actual burrito place.
Yeah, and it was like, it was like Price's Chicken Coop next to the burrito spot. And now burrito spot is gone.
Right. Next to the sushi infused barbecue India place. You're like, how do we get these combos?
Right. And that's, and they're just like quick hit jokes that are in all throughout this album. It's so dope.
Yeah, I think that like, it's funny about something like that. Like, all these things are necessary. It's like, you know, all that I'm trying to do is like have people observe the world around and try to say, well, maybe through the comedy is like have more observance of life and say, how do I bring more balance in my life? And then through that, the world at large, because the fact that I have to even comment on it is incredibly wrong. You know what I mean? Like there's so many other things going on in my life, but the fact that it frustrates me that a burrito is filled with pad thai or like a Greek salad or something, you know what I mean? I don't, it's like, it's just, you know, but it's just like, yeah, I love life and I love, you know, the world around it. It's just that there's so many things that frustrate you, all the isms.
Right.
In San Francisco, you feel like you're on, you feel you have support to, you know, discuss, you know, your frustrations, but you know, you feel like, but the problem is that you don't always have people in your community. There's like less than 5% black people in San Francisco.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and they moved black people to the East Bay, and then in 4 years, they're raising the price of the toll to $10. So now you got to really think about, is Jamal worth my time? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know, right there. Damn. You got to really think about your friendship with a black person to be like, you know, like, well, he did piss me off last week. Nah, you know, anyway.
Right. It's like, I do want to go support this restaurant because it's black owned, but by the time I pay that toll,
I don't have money for vegan soul food.
Right, looking like it's pad thai burritos for me tonight.
Some Trader Joe's pad thai burritos.
Yes.
Just like also, some weird kid.
I also see that you were a staff writer for Problematic with Moshe Kasher, and then also you worked on the first season of Comedy Central's The New Negroes. What's it like being like in that space where you're doing that and then you also have to go back to that job too and deal with that shit?
Bro, it doesn't bring you to tears, but like oh my God, bro. I'm gonna keep anybody that's sitting here that's thinking about wanting to be in like late night or even scripted, which is even better, is that I was working in nonprofits, and I'm talking nonprofits where like I'm dealing with the streets. So it's great because before I was moved to LA, I was working with Rooftop Comedy about establishing a podcast and a live show. It was gonna make me, I could quit, you know, or at least go part time. So I get the call to come down, and when you're working in the writer's room, it's amazing. Even though it's anxiety producing when you're like, it was my first year in a writer's room. And I've written for other things in the Bay, but for like a day or maybe like a week or something. But then when you're on staff and you're with established writers and you're with somebody like Moshe, who I know. And the show felt like an experiment in some ways. It's amazing. You get that check. Motherfucker, when you get that check, that Hollywood check, you're getting And I was in a writing team, so I was splitting $3,000.
Mm.
But I still, right. You're having fun. You're getting free snacks and food. They ordering stuff. You're getting all this stuff. And then I was doing warm-up for the show. So you're getting check on check.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't tell me nothing. I'm sitting here going to that ATM whistling.
He was looking like Spider, looking like that scene looking like that scene in Spider-Man 3.
So I literally almost want to kick my heels in the air. You know what I'm saying? I was humming at the ATM like it was food in the microwave. You know what I'm saying? I was sitting like, I just got paid. I put my money in. I was so broke. I put that first check. The ATM said, really, nigga? Like, it was like, really? You sure? Hey, Wells Fargo called me. It's like, this was a suspicious activity.
What's wrong with this?
What is staff and crew? What is this? I do not know. Who is Comedy Central? I bro. Right. Then when I was doing warm-up, it was such an easy gig. You get about, now if you're established warm-up, somebody's getting $1,000 more than this on that.
Wow.
You know, just for like shooting a t-shirt cannon, like, where are you from? Wisconsin? But I was riffing with the crowd doing, I mean, dog, when you do that, when it dried up, I had to go back in LA, work at a housing, like working for a housing organization with just in Skid Row. And, so I'm trying to get back as hardcore as I can. But now the thing is, now I'm taking this little break to come back to the Bay, mm-hmm. is make my own product, because I learned I had a little heat, so I was in there taking meetings, but I had nothing to show. I had things I'd done for other people.
Right.
So then I got enough producers said, hey, man, once you got, I think it would help you if you really did your own Man on the Street, you did your own podcast, da 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 da. And I always was always working on things, but I would never get it out because I was a perfectionist. I wanted to be just as good as from the TV networks I'd worked for or the media networks. But things build. Yep. I had to go to therapy to learn that things build. Little things become big things.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
It's the smart, I mean, it's, so honest, now, it's the smart way. And now you have less barriers between you and an audience.
Right.
With the internet. So yeah, it's better to be working on your thing and getting better at your craft as you're doing it than to be like, I'm going to present this thing that I find to be perfect, because one, you're never going to get the perfect.
Mm-mm.
So you'll never want to put it out. But even when you put it out, even if you put a perfect product out, it has to start at ground zero. So you still put this perfect fucking thing out and you never built an audience. And that's why I think you find a lot of people that get into podcasting, stand up, whatever. And they're like, why the fuck doesn't everybody love me right away? I've obviously been working so hard on this. It's like they didn't see the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, the thing that people don't realize is that a lot of the time, the people who become famous off their podcast or maybe their album or something, they were already famous for one form of comedy or entertainment.
Right.
Like when you look at The Read, they were already hilarious. They already had a huge following from Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter,
so
and YouTube. Yeah.
When he transitioned, they're going to bring all those fans with them.
Yep. And that's what a lot of audiences, that's what a lot of networks and shit are looking for anyway. It's like, are you going to bring us people to resonate with you?
They want you to do the work.
As well as be funny to the people that we already have watching our shows and stuff. And
Yeah,
it's tough because, like I said, what people don't realize also is, let's say Kasim's gonna make the Kasim podcast. It's gonna be perfect. He's gonna work on it thousands of hours behind the scenes before he even puts out episode one, right? You put out episode one. What is the difference between you putting out episode one and some dude called, I didn't give a fuck about this podcast, I'm not famous, I'm just putting out a podcast called Podcast Number One? People are gonna be like, to the listener, it's the same shit. They don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's better to build with the audience in this industry anyway. It's better to build with the audience slowly over time than to try to just jump out there and be like, ta-da!
Yeah, because I've seen people get a co-sign or they do a rollout, they put a lot of money and effort, and they still, no offense, they're still like Joe Negro.
Yep.
You know? And they don't get a lot of downloads, and then they take, we're taking a break from the, you gotta start from scratch. And, but it seems like you're this like campaign, you gotta be like, look, the thing about it is some people who become successful of comedy podcasts, it wasn't their first venture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's a guy I listen to, Tim Dillon. He talks about, like, by the time his podcast became a hit, he was on his fourth one.
Yep.
He had to figure it out. But then by then, his star had risen in comedy. But it wasn't crazy, but it's just the fact that he found what he was good at.
Yep.
Talking about conspiracies and politics and blah-de-blah-de-blah. It's just like, you know, it's just everybody's got to figure it out. But for black podcasters, it's hard because, like, I know there are a lot out there.
Right.
But it just seems like when we get a superstar, we just latch onto that star. Mm. And it was like they are the prime example or the gold standard of, like, what it should be like. Everyone can't be Kid Fury.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Everyone can't be Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can't be Rod. It's like, you got to figure out what you're like. That even plagued me because people would want me to do a pod because I was good on Facebook. But Facebook is for old motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not popping out here. I'm a black guy in khakis 90% of the week.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody trying to get my opinions on Lil Nas X. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had a podcast. I had did a pilot called White Slavery, and it was incredibly funny. It was I listened to it, and but it's just like the network wasn't in what they just could. They told me that we cannot put this out.
So, like, this is hilarious, but you're out of your mind.
No, we can't. We can't.
I was like, you niggas brought me in here.
Right.
They knew what you were getting.
Right. They looked at, no, we don't want the letters. Yeah. We don't want the Citronella candles being sent to us. No, we don't
need this much Kasim. If you could dial back like 75% on the Kasim and give us like 25%.
They just wanted me to change the name. I didn't want to budge.
Mm.
I was like, White Slavery or nothing.
Mm.
And they were like, then the one guy quit. He was so adamant. He quit. He was like, I believe.
Which guy quit? The guy who believed in the name or the guy who believed you should change it? Which guy quit?
The guy that believed in my whole thing, he believed.
And then
he quit because he didn't seem like the company. But then he was trying to start his own company. And I was like, well, all right. So now I go to like a shitty basement trying to record episode 2 and 3.
Right.
You know, there's a dog running through the studio. And then I'm talking Like a dog. If he was human, he'd be racist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just like he votes the wrong way. You know what I mean? It's like
a Make America Great Again dog. Man, but
just an at risk. Yeah, human. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just whatever.
But that's the thing though, man. Like, you had the integrity. But like, do you ever look back and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have had that integrity. I could have been on TV.
I mean, yeah, I mean, even right now, it's like, I have my projects, a lot of them are about to come, they're about to go into production.
Okay.
And that's the great thing about being in the Bay. It's like, cause I'll get into meetings up here, which are like, I had a meeting with Twitch, you know, that went, didn't really go anywhere. I mean, it did, but I'm meeting people that don't have the juice to pull the trigger. They want to meet me. They like what I'm doing. But then they have a title, but they're not the dude. They're like the third level from the dude, or they just got newly hired. I get a lot of these young dudes that are like, I love you, dude. Fucking shit, sweet. You know, and it's like, then they're like scratching their head, like, well, right now, the first quarter, like Himalaya Media brought me in. I'm really dropping names. I'm really ruining my career talking. But like, people bring me in. I've been brought into so much shit. It's just like, it's tiring.
Yeah, it's,
you know what I mean? So I just need to just do it myself.
I heard an interview on Keep It. Deezus and Mero were on there, that podcast, getting interviewed by Ira Madison and them. And Deezus said it wasn't about having the most listeners or getting a lot of people to listen. It was about getting the right person to listen.
Right.
And they just happened to have the right people that had some power that were like, yo, let's take a chance on Deezus versus Mero. Okay, let's get these guys on MTV too. Okay, hey, you're so interesting. I want you to help write my movie with me or write for a TV show. And, oh man, I'm going to Vice now. I'm starting my own thing. Y'all should come with me. And it's just about knowing that person. And there's no fucking way to know if you know that person or not.
Right.
It's literally luck of the draw for a lot of this shit, which is why I don't put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And, you know, it's not that when you mentioned like some of the like the one person blowing up for black shit, it's not really that black people latch onto them, it's white people that decide this one black person represents all of y'all, and if we when we want a new black person, they need to be like that person. Like, you know,
right.
We need another Kid Fury and Crystal. We need another Desus and Meryl.
No diversity.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're not good. Like, you can't have that. You can't get to there's only one authentic version of that. You got to look at other things. And when they see black on the title or something, like, white people freak out. They're like,
yeah, they do.
This is not for me. It's not safe. It's not, I don't know if I want it. But meanwhile, you look around entertainment and black people flourish, dog. Like, cause white people love us. Like, they can't help it.
Right.
A little too much. If you look historically at the country, they love us a little too much. But they love us, so like, you're still, like, when you talk about the best comedians, you're gonna come through and it's gonna be Chappelle, Eddie Murphy. It's gonna be, Chris Rock. Because they love black people. It's not like these black people don't talk about race. They love black people. And none of those guys is the same as the next guy.
Right.
But you have, it takes, it's so hard to convince white people of that. When they hear your shit, because they're like, but you're not like Charlemagne. It's like, right, because there's a fucking world of black people that aren't alike.
Come on.
The same way that you have 27 white dudes that all have the top podcast, and guess what? None of these motherfuckers are the same guy, allegedly. So, Kasim, I know we have kept you over the time, man, and I know you were on your break, man, so I appreciate you doing this, man.
Thank you, baby.
Everybody go get the album, dog. Like I said,
yeah,
comes out May 3rd, that's this Friday. It's called Lakeview.
It's called Lakeview on Blonde Medicine on all streaming sites. Yeah, buy the album, and if I get fired today, hit me on Venmo.
Hit the Cash App, okay?
Hit
Kasim Bentley. Hit me on that face. Hit me on Zelle Facebook Messenger. It comes within an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Instant message his boss and tell him, please, brother, don't.
Just, I know.
Give him a break for one day.
If you're a boss in the Bay Area, just hire me.
Hire Kasim, okay?
Right. You never.
I know Microsoft Office really well.
All right, Kasim. Thank you so much, man.
Thank
you have a good
baby.
Rest of your day.
All
peace.
Right.
Peace.
Y'all have a good one.
Oh man, that was hilarious. So yeah, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher if you're not a hater. The official weapon of the show is
the Tiger
and the unofficial sport
Bulletball
and Bullet Ball Extreme. And we got all kinds of news to cover today. And I suggest we get right on into it because we already been talking.
Okay.
Check out the album. Don't forget. Speaking of comedy news, we got a couple comedy stories.
Okay.
First of all, Pete Davidson, stand-up comedian, works on SNL. He was set to perform some stand-up in Bridgeport, Connecticut last night and walked out of the show because the host mentioned Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale's names. These are two women that he has been attached to dating.
Oh, that dude. Okay. I know you're talking about
that. Ariana Grande is... his ex and Kate Beckinsale, I think they're currently fucking. I don't know if they're really dating.
Oh, I don't know.
Everybody's like, oh, she's so old. She just got divorced. And I mean, she's still young, looks young though. Like, she's one of them people that stays in some shape. So, and it's funny because it's like clearly going to be salacious. Y'all are Hollywood stars. You're out dating in public. And to think that the host mentioning it at the club would be like the thing that make him be like, fuck y'all, I'm out, it's kind of weird. The club's owner came out to introduce Pete. He instructed the audience not to ask the comedian anything about Ariana or Kate. Pete had apparently asked the owner not to do that. After all, it is kind of embarrassing way to kick off the show. So he walked right out the building. I wonder if this is the question I have. Are your people telling the owner, we don't want people asking about Ariana and Kate? And then the owner thought, well, I guess I better tell the audience.
Right. So
did the owner really pull that out of nowhere? I wonder.
Good question.
Cause that's really, right? Cause if he pulled it out of nowhere and went and just said, hey, don't ask him about these two women, then I can see why you'd be pissed. But if you instructed him, hey, I don't want anybody asking about this, I don't know how the fuck you tell a crowd not to ask about that without telling the crowd.
Correct.
Hey, you guys in Connecticut, I'm sorry we had to leave the show before I got to go on. Pete said in the video, posted his Instagram story right after walking out. The owner, Vinny Brand, disrespected me and did something I told him not to do, and I can't perform under those circumstances. He went on to say that he would reschedule a free show for anyone who bought tickets and apologize for any trouble. Then in a rather strange turn of event, the club's owners played that apology video to the audience and insisted that Pete's security team had actually asked him to give him the warning about Ariana and Kate. See, that's what I think. And maybe it sounded like a miscommunication, like.
Correct.
Maybe the security team told him, but Pete, not Pete or something. I don't know. But good luck to everybody out there. It's an awkward situation. I also don't understand, as a comedian that is famous and you're dating a famous person, how can you expect it not to come up?
Never. You talking about, particularly with Ariana. I mean, Ariana, her album bangs. Like, she isn't, you know, it's not like she's like a household name now, so people are gonna ask.
Yeah, like, did they want the host and the other comedians not to mention it?
I don't know. Dude thought
it was the audience. Like, I'm trying to wrap my head around how that became a problem, because it doesn't really seem like the kind of thing that needs to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
In other comedy news, Bobby Brown has threatened to beat the shit out of Chris Rock over a Whitney Houston crack joke.
Oh.
Yeah. Bet you didn't see that coming.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't even know Chris Rock was still doing Whitney Houston crack jokes in 2019.
Yeah, I didn't know he was doing jokes.
Thought we was off of that. Yeah, so apparently Chris Rock posted a meme to his Instagram account with the added caption, "Hurry up, I got crack to smoke," and I'll put the meme on the screen so you guys can see it along with me and Karen here. But it's a meme of Whitney Houston with some shades on, staring at like someone took a picture of her, like she's just sitting with some shades on, like she's in an interview, and the person Thick Alicious Thigh Meats had wrote
that name.
He's sitting in a meeting that could have been an email. And then that's when Chris Rock took the picture and said, you know, screen capped it and said, "Hurry up, I got crack to smoke." And of course, the pictures of Whitney Houston. So, did it show?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So obviously, that's very offensive, Karen. You agree? Too far?
I understand Bobby being mad and upset. You know, that's his loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that perspective, I understand. And I've said this before, but it's one of those things where once people get to a certain level, people just strip humanity from people. So, you know, to the average person, they go, "I don't see a problem with it."
It's interesting because, like, if Bobby been mad about crack jokes, he got a lot of people to punch before he get to Chris Rock.
Because a lot of people been making them crack jokes for decades.
Yeah, these are not new phenomenon with Whitney. The post grabbed attention of Bobby Brown, who made some credible threats to Rock for his deleter. He wrote, "When I see you on site, I am going to smack every tooth out of your mouth. I thought she was a friend of my family, but when I see you, I'm gonna bust your ass." I guess I thought he was a friend of my family. Maybe that's a little typo there. But he's threatening to physically harm Chris Rock over this joke. I don't know if Chris is gonna apologize. Bobby continued after deleting the comment. During this time of women empowerment, you choose your time to humiliate our queen. That's a bit of, I don't think those two things jive. I don't think the Me Too movement means that Chris Rock can't make jokes about Whitney Houston having done crack. I mean, I might not understand the movement, but I don't think that's what the movement was about.
No.
sound like Bobby Brown's just mad, and I feel him because he loved her, but
that's what I'm talking about.
Sound like he was just mad at a comedian making jokes.
Yeah, he's like, anything. Well, baby, you're gonna be mad at the whole internet.
Yeah, it's kind of what comedians do. Let's see what else we got here. Soulja Boy has been sentenced to 240 days behind bars for a probation violation.
What did he do?
After 19 days behind bars, he was sentenced to additional 7 months in jail with 265 days of community service over probation violation. The Crank That rapper was arrested earlier this month after a judge determined he failed to complete his court-ordered community service and instead tried to falsify evidence to prove he completed it.
All you had to do was show up and just do it.
He didn't want to do it, Karen. So now he got to do jail.
And still have to do the time.
And he was out here, he was out here being too messy, getting, being on the internet, talking shit to other rappers, doing interviews, talking shit, acting crazy. Instead, he could have been doing community service instead of all that shit.
Come on.
Soldier's arrest also came after the rapper's ex-girlfriend claimed he tied her up and held her hostage in his garage, which prompted an investigation and a raid. According to TMZ, the raid uncovered ammunition, which resulted in a probation violation on his weapons case from 2014. Now, after almost 20 days in jail, following his initial court appearance, the rapper's attorney says he's had an awakening. Yeah, okay.
Only because you're going to jail.
Is this like the awakening I have when my alarm goes off for me to be at work and I put a snooze and then eventually I wake up after the time I'm supposed to already be at work? Because if that's the awakening, then guess what? It's too late.
Because you're going to be late for work.
Yeah. The judge sends him 240 days in jail with credit for 40 days served. So I guess he got 200 days in jail to serve for now. Maybe they'll find a way to get him out. You know, rich people do be getting out without no consequences. Mm-hmm. So. Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes are going to star in a recreation of the Jeffersons for ABC.
Okay.
Moving on up.
Who asked for, like, the reboot?
Who asked for this?
Yes.
Nobody.
Okay, I wanted to be sure.
That I know of. Was anyone in the chat room asking for this?
Mm-mm.
I didn't see anybody say anything. Okay. With so many reboots this day, it's hard to keep up the excitement. However, ABC is doing things a little bit different and recreating iconic TV classics live on stage. So it's actually different than bringing the TV show back.
Oh, they're going to do it live on stage. Okay, right. It's one of the things where they're going to bring it. It's Good Times coming back too. How about All in the Family?
According to Deadline, Fox and Sykes will be joined by Will Ferrell as George and Louise's friend Tom Willis. Yo, this actually, now I'm kind of invested.
Gonna be live action.
I'm actually kind of invested in a one-off play involving these actors play these roles.
Is it gonna be like The Wiz we seen?
I guess, but with a, not a play, but with a TV show.
Okay.
Justina Machado as the Jefferson's housekeeper, Florence Johnson. I don't know if I know her. The roles of Helen Willis, Lionel Jefferson, Jenny Willis, and Mother Jefferson have yet to be set. Alright, well, we'll see, man. It's a 90-minute star-studded tribute to the classic sitcom. The event will portray an original episode from both the Emmy winning comedies. It's also going to be All in the Family they're going to do. Woody Harrelson will play Archie Bunker. Marissa Tomei will play Edith. Now that one's kind of a stretch. I don't know. But I guess we'll see.
All right.
I'm kind of mad they switched up the role, of Florence to Justina Machado, because Florence is a black woman and now it looks like she's gonna be like a Latina woman, which I mean is fine, but you know, black, you guys said black,
right.
Jefferson's come like on. Y'all already, I hope y'all better be doing some of that race bending with All in the Family too.
Come on.
Okay,
don't be redoing it and be like, we're gonna redo it and go skip the racism, the fuck is this,
right? But nah, man, we'll see, man. I'm actually kind of interested in this now, for that it's just a one-time special. If it would have been like trying to reboot the series, I would probably have to say no. You'll never guess what they found on McDonald's touchscreens, Karen.
What they find? Crack?
Nope.
Drugs?
Nope.
Oh, somebody said feces.
Well, that's correct, but you didn't guess that. You read that from the chat room.
Oh, no, I didn't guess that.
According to the paper, they swabbed the new self-order machines in 6 different England locations, 6 in London, 2 in Birmingham, and the breadth of different and concerning bacteria on each one worried senior lecturer of microbiology at London Metropolitan University, Dr. Paul Matawele, who told the Metro, "We were all surprised how much gut and fecal bacteria there was on the touchscreen machines. These cause the kind of infections that people pick up in hospitals."
Because people don't wash their hands. People don't wash their hands.
And they don't wash those screens, apparently.
Apparently they don't.
According to the back, among the bacteria was Staphylococcus, which has been linked to toxic shock syndrome. Matawele called the bacteria so contagious, he was also concerned about Listeria, Klebsiella, and Proteus strains found, each of which contributes to different serious illnesses.
Yeah, then people wonder why people wearing them gloves and plastic gloves and shit.
A McDonald's rep said, "Our self-order screens are cleaned frequently throughout the day." Mm-hmm. All our restaurants also provide facilities for customers mm-hmm. to wash their hands mm-hmm. before eating.
Not when you paying no minimum wage.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I work that place where they be talking about deep clean. Deep clean my ass. You ain't gonna get so much deep clean paying somebody minimum wage.
Yeah, it's funny though, because you know what else has a lot of fecal matter on it? Money.
It sure does.
I know. It's crazy. Everybody's gonna die of these germs, y'all. Alright, let's see. Let's get into some fucking with black people, guys. Alright, I'm gonna bring my fucking with black people music up. And we'll play the song, and then we'll play the game. We had a nice long interview with Kasim.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we can move it to the games, and then we'll start wrapping up. And of course, tomorrow is our Game of Thrones recap with JL Covan.
Mm-hmm.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's see who's fucking with us today. A longtime New Jersey police director is under fire for alleged racial slurs, and he will now resign, says the mayor.
Not be fired. He's just like, I'm gonna step down.
I'm gonna be honest. Very surprising story. A police director who's racist and is gonna resign? Wow. I can't believe he's resigning. That's honestly the big blew my head off. Elizabeth Police Director James Cosgrove will resign after an internal inquiry found he used racist and sexist slurs against his own staff. That's right, the people that worked there, not the Negroes on the street they were arresting. Cosgrove has faced mounting pressure after State Attorney General Gerber Greewall, New Jersey's top law enforcement official, called for his resignation and installed a close aide as acting Union County prosecutor to enact an internal affairs overhaul at the city police department. Mayor Chris Ballwage, who appointed Cosgrove to the job more than 20 years ago, announced the resignation after meeting with Greewall Tuesday afternoon. It was the first time he had addressed the accusations about Cosgrove publicly. His name is, what the fuck? Cosgrove. That sound like the last name of a racist person. Master Cosgrove said we got to peel this lower folded. The original complaint against Cosgrove in February prompted a 2-month investigation by the Union County Prosecutor's Office. The office ultimately substantiated the claims that Cosgrove had used the N-word and the C-word to refer to black and female employees.
Oh, the N and the C?
I like how they said black and female. Are there no black women working there? Because I feel like they might have caught both. That intersection, dog. He's like, oh, I hate these niggers, and I hate these cunts, and I hate that nigger cunt, Letitia. Like, you know, he was doing both.
Combined them.
Yeah. By my powers combined.
I am racism.
Captain Sism.
He's a hero.
But since Koskov is a civilian appointee and not a uniformed law enforcement officer, the only one who could fire him is his political ally, Bowage, which is the mayor. And so he announced that he will resign and step down in 2 days.
2 whole days? So I gotta deal with you with another 48 hours?
Yep. He got 48 hours to get the rest of his sizzle, man. It's gonna be, he's gonna be up against the clock, Karen, the final countdown. Karen, 0 to 100?
100.
100. I would give this also 100. This is pretty bad.
Right?
Melissa Ancona pleads guilty to killing Klan leader Frank Ancona. But, Rod, they have the same last name. That's right. It's his wife. The cat-hoarding wife of a Ku Klux Klan leader in rural Missouri pleaded guilty this morning to murdering him in 2017 and dumping his body.
Oh, okay.
Melissa, spelled M-A-L-I-S-S-A.
Oh, okay.
To hate us so much. To hate us so much, y'all. Same name, same spellings. Mm-mm-mm. 47, she admitted in St. Francois County Court to shooting Frank Ancona twice in their house. I fired both shots that killed my husband. The killing was the subject of the Riverfront Times cover story in March 2017. As we reported then, Frank Ancona had confided to relatives and others that he suspected his wife had drugged him in the past and was possibly trying to kill him. Then in February 2017, he went missing. Investigators soon discovered bizarre online posts made by Melissa Ancona seeking a roommate. She told law enforcement she believed her husband had left her, so she was looking for someone to help with the bills. Frank Ancona's body was discovered near a river outside a small town of Belgrade, Missouri, shortly after he was reported missing by family members. What I find interesting is she's looking for a roommate. That means you didn't take out no life insurance on this dude for killing him? Mm-mm. Girl, you ain't never watched Snapped?
Come on.
Investigators quickly focused on the wife and his stepson, Paul Jenkerson Jr., as prime suspects. They were both charged February 13, 2017 with first-degree murder, tampering with the physical evidence, and abandonment of a corpse. Melissa Ancona's story has changed repeatedly since the killing. She at first blamed her son, Jenkerson, saying he fired on her sleeping husband in the master bedroom of the house. She later wrote the judge a letter saying she was actually the shooter, only to say in a later letter that she hadn't been in her right mind when confessing. She had been scheduled for a hearing this morning to set dates in the trial, but the Post-Dispatch reports instead she made a deal with the prosecutors to plead guilty to second-degree murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abandonment of a corpse. She told the judge that Jenkerson was not involved in the killing, but helped her clean up the crime scene and dispose of the body. Jenkerson's case is still pending. Well, I hope you get some time, too. Because I'm sorry. This is a miscarriage of justice. Y'all killed an innocent Klansman in his bed. And you think you just gonna get away with that in the white man's America? I don't think so. For this one time and one time only, I'm on the side of white supremacy. Someone must pay for this Klan man's death. Before his death, Frank Ancona had made brief appearances on the national stage through interviews in the New York Times, MSNBC, leveraging his role as the imperial wizard of the traditionalist American Knights of the KKK. Yeah, shout out to our allies at the New York Times and MSNBC giving this man a platform. Thank you so much. Man, if she hadn't killed him, he might be on TV today telling us how great Trump is. Despite the grandiose name, the hate group was a tidy, disorganized collection of small-town white supremacists numbering maybe 40 at the height of the organization's influence, the Southern Poverty Law Center previously told RFT. Ancona has supported her husband in his Klan activities. Of course she did. We've all seen Black Klansmen. Sewing robes for him and other members, an activity that earned her the mocking nickname Seamstress for the Klan. That's not even original or good. That's just what she was doing. How's that a nickname? You know what I mean? That's not a nickname, really. If I sew basketball shorts and you go, she's the seamstress for the team. Yeah, I am.
You call me what it is.
White people ain't got no swag. But she and Frank Ancona clashed in the months before his death. Against her husband's wishes, she turned their house into a filthy, off-the-books animal rescue. Relatives and animal rescue workers say when the law enforcement arrived at the couple's home to investigate Frank Ancona's death, they had to pick their way through piles of garbage, dozens of cats that had free reign of the place.
Oh, you know that. You know that shit stinks.
How you racist, and that's the most disgusting thing I heard, is that you got, you hoard cats. You know what I mean? I should be disgusted by the racism. Instead, I'm like, you had cats just everywhere.
Everywhere.
You was making casseroles and bringing them to the potluck at the Klan house.
All that cat hair.
Ugh. Disgusting. Also, you're a racist and a murderer. But, cats. relatives say Frank Ancona had talked of leaving his wife, but worried what she might do. Well, let me tell you, you ain't got to worry no more, buddy, because you know what she did.
Come on. Everybody does now.
Sure, he's looking up innocently from hell. Karen, 0 to 100.
Zero. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not fucking with
it. Yeah, thanks? Like, what do I say to that? Appreciate it? Thanks. I guess trash takes care of itself sometimes. Zero for me. I'm not very upset by that one. I don't know why. George Zimmerman caught advertising on Tinder and then kicked off.
A 100. He always get 100.
Zimmerman, the self-appointed neighborhood watchman who fatally shot an unarmed black teen, Trayvon Martin, in Stanford, Florida in 2012, was caught on Tinder advertising himself as Carter, a 35-year-old self-employed consultant, according to screenshots. The advertisement includes several photos of Zimmerman, one in which he is shirtless and wearing mirrored glasses, and accompanies a few sentences in which he explains he prefers to avoid the public. I'm looking for carefree fun. Love the outdoors, fishing, camping, and hiking. I love adventure, not in the huge crowds. I'm also down for a quiet night with Longhorn Takeout. A classy man. I wonder if Longhorn is somewhere like, oh God, no, why'd you have to say us? The official stakes are racist.
Right, they got to come out and denounce you.
In February, Zimmerman was booted from Bumble for posting a profile that violated the company's terms of service, according to Creative Loafing. In that ad, Zimmerman referred to himself as a jury consultant. Zimmerman also has been caught on the site OkCupid. Tinder shared a statement with Creative Loafing indicating Zimmerman had been banned from the service. Oh my God. Who's the woman out there that's just like waiting to match up and swipe right on him? I'll tell you who.
Who?
That woman that just killed her Klan husband. Look,
she looking for a roommate.
She need a roommate. Okay. She's available. All right. She loves animals. More than people even. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh. 100, but anything with his name, I don't care what he could save a kid, it'd be 100.
Yeah, he's a permanent 100.
Mm-hmm.
He's a first ballot Hall of Fame fucking with black people all star. So
I don't care what he does, I am fucked with.
Yeah, he got 100 at Zimmerman. And shout out to the people that match with him. You might want to look at life, okay? Like, what is going on with you? A black man stages racial profile and traffic stop to propose to his girlfriend. A black man in California bucked conventional wisdom to surprise his girlfriend with his marriage proposal over the weekend. In spite of, or because of, the too many to count incidents of police violence against black people, Princeton Jones enlisted the help of a local cop while popping the question, but it was how he proposed that raised eyebrows. Jones and Jamaica Johnson were on their way to a family gathering when red and blue lights flashing lights appeared in the rearview mirror in the town of Hansford on Friday. Something like this may instantly provoke the distressingly similar images of racial profiling, particular to black drivers. On this occasion, Jones was filled with a different type of anxiety. Body camera footage showed Hansford Police Officer Mark Carrillo asking Jones, who pulled over, to step out of the car while Johnson looked on with a helplessness and confusion as to all too familiar to black drivers and passengers during a police stop. And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck is going on? What did he do? Johnson recalled. Carrillo had Jones against the side of the car with his hands behind his back as family members began to come outside. But when Johnson got out the car, instead of seeing her boyfriend in handcuffs, he got down on one knee and proposed. Johnson happily accepted, and the family began to cheer and thank the officers for their part in the surprise. Earlier, Jones had approached Carrillo to aid and abet his proposal. We devised a little plan. I told him, hey, I'll pull you over. He goes, well, I have really loud music in my car. I can bump my music. Choosing to stage a racial profile and traffic stop was an interesting way to propose, given how stories of people like Philando Castile, who was killed July 2016 traffic stop with his girlfriend and her child in the car, don't end nearly as well. To put it mildly, Sandra Bland died of police custody in July 2015 following what should have been a routine traffic stop. Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100, and she a good one. I'd have said, nigga, no.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a fucking heart attack, no.
I just want to know how they gonna serve the divorce papers when the marriage is over if it don't work out. Now you gonna like what? He's like, I hung myself from a noose. Just kidding. I want a divorce. Like what the fuck? Yeah, that's 100, and also that's the dumbest shit I ever heard of in my life.
Right?
Like who?
Unnecessary stress. No.
Yeah. Who says yes to that?
And it, you know, and you know, it might have been one of them things where it. Right. I don't know. Y'all are extra special.
I am disgusted.
That would have been me. Everybody's feelings would have been hurt because I would have been highly upset.
Yeah, I can't see it, dog. That's not a person I would want to build a life with.
They'd be like, she cussed him out and the police officer. They had to put her under real arrest.
Right. She choked the shit out of him, and then it was an assault. And
right.
Now,
and then the police officer actually had to do his job.
They'll be spending the honeymoon in prison. All right. Let's do some guess the race.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-da-bop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a racist. Man, someone in the chat room said, what did she say? I mean, I guess yes. I would feel like that's part of it too. If I don't say yes, the cops gonna kill him? I don't know. Yes, I'll marry him. Please, just put the guns up.
She might have felt pressured.
Town and country police are searching for a sneaker thief.
Oh, shit, we're stealing shoes?
Police are searching for a prolific tennis shoe thief who has been cashing phony checks at 3 stores this month. The suspect has been to Big River Running stores in Town and Country, University City, and St. Louis City. Detective Chris Hunt of the Town and Country Police Department said, each time he used a bogus check to buy Nike products such as Air Zoom shoes, in all, the merchandise he's stolen has been valued at $2,000. Hunt said the checks looked so realistic that store employees only found out they were fake when the bank notified them. The suspect is described as a man in his mid-30s to early 40s with a stocky build. He's 5'8" to 5'10" and is mostly bald with some gray hair on the sides. Karen, guess the race of this suspect.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room and see what you coons believe. White.
What was his name?
They don't have his name, just his picture. White. They took his check. White, says Joe. Black, says Mary. Well, yesterday, Hennessy XO stolen by non-blacks. I won't be fooled again. White. White. 3 bounce checks in 2019. White. New Balance is white. Tracy from Atlanta, black. I'ma say white. White. No nigga writing check. A check. Plus they took the check without questioning.
You know what? I said black, but you know what?
Yeah, say black. That's correct.
I think I'm gonna change to white because he wasn't trying to buy Jordans.
Karen's now changing her guess to white. She went black to white. The correct answer is, and Karen, are you sure? Final chance.
Oh Lord.
Sound like you're getting stressed out over there.
I am. Go white.
Kara's going white. Final answer. The correct answer is black. Should have trusted your gut.
Ha. That sounds like some nigga shit.
Guess it didn't sound like nigga shit enough, because many of y'all went white with black on that, and went white on that, and the correct answer was black. Some of you did go black. Mm-mm-mm. Of course, the secret clue to the getting that one right was, of course, Nikes. Nikes is always the answer, guys. Let's see what else we got here. How about a CMPD officer, which is here, Charlotte, has been arrested. Oh no, not arrested. He's been accused of stealing steaks.
What kind of steaks? That matters. Was it T-bone? Was it ribeye?
He was shoplifting from a grocery store in South Charlotte. He's been charged with 42 additional shoplifting cases.
42?
In May, detectives charged CMPD officer Samuel Yaravitz with 7 counts of larceny after he was identified as a suspect in connection with shoplifting cases which occurred between February 13th and May 9th. He was accused of shoplifting at 5 different Harris Teeter stores in Charlotte.
Oh, he was going to the fancy stores.
A police source said the officer was stealing steaks in at least one of the larcenies by putting them in a bag and walking out the store.
Oh, just out the front door, huh?
Yep.
Them bitches got cameras everywhere. They gonna catch you.
In total, he was charged with 49 cases. The 5 Harris Teeter locations included Providence Boulevard, East Boulevard, South Sharon, Amity Road, Morrison Boulevard, and the Brighton Park Drive.
Oh, he was hitting all the good ones too.
Police say Yarvis used a marked cruiser during the crimes. Damn, you stole in your police car? He was a patrol officer assigned to Providence Division. He was hired by CMPD June 1999. Wow, I waited all this long to start heisting, or is this just when he got caught? He was suspended from CPMD without pay. Oh, this is when you get don't. Okay.
Oh, okay. You stealing the steaks, it's without pay. You shoot somebody, you get all the pay in the world.
Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here. He killed an innocent black man, but he will have pay. He's given vacation for 3 years.
But he fuck with that cow.
Right. Stole 2 T-bones. I don't think you'll be getting a dime from CMPD, buddy.
You stealing that filet mignon.
We are charged with upholding and enforcing the law and will continue to hold ourselves accountable when we violate it. I am disappointed that a member of our department has fallen short of our organization's high standards, said Police Chief Kerr Putney. A court date for these new charges set for next month. I'm surprised that the police union didn't come out and release a statement against steaks.
Come on.
These steaks are out of control. The prices are outrageous. What are our officers supposed to do?
A statement against cows.
I blame Harris Teeter. Okay? That's what the problem is.
I blame the cows.
Karen, guess the race of this officer.
White.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe as well. Like his steaks, blue, white. Red meat, eaten red neck, blue life. White. He liked Jameis Winston once. White. Again, I'm going to say white. All right. The correct answer is, and everybody went white, and you all got it correct. Man. I kind of get why he stole them, though.
Ooh, he did that.
Yeah. I kind of, you look at him, you can tell why he stole it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stakes was high. And ended up losing his job because it was a lot of stake. I'm just glad that when he was trying to get away in that police car, he didn't T-bone anyone in the parking lot.
Yes, T-bone.
But yeah, he did that shit.
Yes, he did. He guilty, y'all.
Okay. That's a steak eating man right there. We gotta go to the bonus round, and we also have to go to the next section because we're about to get cut off. So I will pause. Just give me a second. All right. So now it's time to get to our last story of Forget the Race. Let's go to our bonus round music.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 1-1.
Yep.
Blue the gimme.
I did not, though. I should have stuck with my gut and said black.
Yeah, if you overthought it, but it's okay. Maybe you can make it up in the bonus round. A lot riding on the line here, guys.
I know, right?
Let's see. Men use spaghetti sauce to try to start a fire after a burglary.
Is spaghetti sauce flammable? Nobody told me. Is there gasoline in there? Nobody, kerosene in it? Nobody told me.
Two men are accused of breaking into a home of a man they both dated, stealing several items, then leaving spaghetti sauce boiling on the stove with a washcloth placed near the burner in an attempt to start a fire. The victim called 911 about 7 a.m. Tuesday because security cameras in his home at Evergreen Terrace in DeLand detected motion, and he believed someone was breaking in because a towel had been placed over one of the cameras. Deputies went.
Yeah. you checking you up going, hey, why can't I get the view of the front room?
Deputies went to the residence, saw a red Lincoln Navigator attempting to leave the area. A stop was conducted, and the driver, 28-year-old John Silva, and passenger Derek Irving told deputies that they had just picked up some clothes from the victim's house. The victim told News 6 that Irving was wearing a bull costume. A bull costume?
What were y'all planning on doing?
What kind of motherfucking Raising Arizona heist is this?
Your ring picking that up?
The deputy said she could see a marijuana grinder in the center console and a vacuum window AC unit, flat screen television, and a heater in the back. And an empty jar of Ragu spaghetti sauce was also on the passenger seat. Deputy said both men initially denied burglarizing the victim's home, instead saying that Irving told Silva he lived at the home and needed a ride there to retrieve some clothes and other items. The home reeked of smoke when deputies entered it. According to the report, a pot of spaghetti sauce was found burning on the stove with a white washcloth placed near the burner that had just begun catching fire. He was trying to make it look like I left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 a.m. and fixes sketty? The victim said. Yes, sketty. The deputies extinguished the fire, then continued searching the home. Evidence at the scene revealed that Silver and Irvin broke into the home, covered the security camera, stole the items, then put spaghetti sauce on the stove in an attempt to start a fire so the evidence would be destroyed. Silva and Irvin told deputies that they both had romantic or sexual encounters with the victim in the past. It started out as a relationship that lasted about a week. The victim said, I've let him use my car for 4 months. Maybe he's angry about that. Or maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth.
Oh, the shade.
Right? Why would he be angry? Why? First of all, where you getting your teeth fixed for $150 only?
Come on.
Okay, I've seen the bill for the braces. Okay, it's not no $150 one time fee.
Mm-mm. That's $150 for the few months.
Can you even get a grill for $150?
No. $150,000? Yeah.
Both men were charged with unarmed burglary, grand theft, and arson. Silver's being held $25,500 bond. Irvin's being held without bond because officials say he violated his probation. Karen, guess the race of these two men.
Oh, black.
Okay, Karen's going with black. Now, I do have to tell you there are different races.
Oh, black and white?
Okay, Karen's going black and white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Two different races in this article, okay? Above the perpetrators. So I see white. I like sugar on my spaghetti, black and white. This too much, black and white. A black and a white. That's what the whites call getting ragu'd. One black, one white.
Not getting ragu'd.
The correct answer is, both gave her the meatballs, which left them with the limp noodle, white, and latinx. The correct answer is, and there was no hers involved in this, it's all men.
All men.
The correct answer is actually, Karen, you got it right, black and white. Yay. Some people did miss it.
Oh my.
Yep. That's the crew. The Robin crew.
Oh. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on in that picture.
There was a lot going on today and Guess the Race.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Who knows what was going to happen next? All right. Let's go ahead and do some story ratchetness. That's what's going to happen next. An Iowa man has been sentenced for beating an 11-year-old with a 56-inch sword.
Well, damn indeed,
Karen. That is taller than most people, okay?
Yes, it is. Probably taller than me.
That's a tall sword, okay? It's like 48 inches is 4 feet. So it's like 4 feet and 8 inches or something. That's taller than most little kids, man. You beat an 11-year-old with a sword as tall as an 11-year-old. Sioux County District Court records say the 37-year-old Matthew Spans, not to be confused with Mr. Span,
different person,
was sentenced Monday. The Iowa Appeals Court in December ordered a resentencing after ruling that the trial judge considered an improper factor a year ago when sentencing Spans the first time. Spans and his wife Nina Spans of Harwarden pleaded guilty to 4 counts of child endangerment. She received a 4-year suspended prison sentence and was placed on 2 years probation. Court records say Matthew Spans beat his stepson with his hands, a 56 inch sword and another item.
He has some big hands to hold a sword that big.
Mm-hmm. The documents say the boy was told to make up stories about his bruises or his next beating would be worse.
Oh, poor baby.
Yep. And this is the damage the swords can do to relationships and families and little kids. Get them out of your house. It's not cool. All right, y'all, we'll be back tomorrow. Speaking of swords, talking about Game of Thrones, Battle of Winterfell. JL Covan will be our guest. Looking forward to it. I think that's at 6:30 tomorrow. So 6:30 will be the start time. Go get Kasim Bentley's album, Lakeview. It's coming out Friday, May 3rd. You can catch it on anywhere you stream or buy music. It's there, wherever comedy streamed or sold, okay? It's got a dope cover, so check that out. I'll probably make it the cover art for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, until next time.
Oh, wait, yes!
Y'all! Guess who is now auntie and uncle again?
Yes!
Us!
3 times.
Welcome to the world, Lorenzo. Can't wait to meet you, little bro. Okay? Can't wait to hang.
Yes!
And we'll be seeing him soon. So, shout out to my brother and my sister-in-law, Rodney and Morgan. Congratulations. I mean, I already told them this on text and everything, but still, congratulations and can't wait to meet the little fella.
I excited, y'all.
Yeah,
just over I'm there. An auntie again.
Mm-hmm. Over there adding more dishes to the family.
So, I know, right?
Can't wait to spoil all the little babies and you know, be the reason that they come home all hopped up on sugar and shit.
Now you know it, dog.
All right, y'all, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.